Sup guys, ETC Joe here for this audio development journal. Might call it a Truthcast. Now, Truthcast officially will be, you know, recorded in the proper format for podcast feeds properly broadcast them, but it is a truth cast in the sense that I will be spewing truth into disseminating truth into your mind. Just a beautiful day here, most peaceful day as I find in the state of myself. Unfortunately, not in the state of the world, but that's okay, because peace comes from within, comes from your inner self, and is propagated outwards. And, you know, in that we can find peace, that no matter what is happening in the environment, we can be the origin of peace. And amplify it into the world get more specific in this truth cast. I think what I'm going to talk about is a few things, a broad array of things that I figured out when I was meditating upon the idea for this Truthcast. The first thing I was thinking about is the idea for this Truthcast, or any idea more broadly, valuable? Are ideas valuable? And I suppose that depends on what your idea is of value. I seem to be one who defines the idea of value as something that is subjective, as determined by he or she or they who is doing the valuing. So all value is subjective, and ideas have the ability to be valued by the valuer, I believe. And, you know, what if in order for that value of an idea to be recognized, it simply needed to be put in the right format? And it's not that that format is making the ideas valuable. They were always contained value, but by putting ideas in a certain format, we unlocked the ability for the rest of the world or valuers to value these ideas. And so I think that's, in some sense, is what we're trying to do here with the Truth Social Network. And I think we may have stumbled upon a wonky premise that perhaps ideas, which are really just memes, right? Memes are ideas that have gone viral, can be monetized. And so I think that's, in some senses, an earth-shattering idea, right? And so that was one idea for this Truthcast, an audio development journal, which will be published under the, first I was calling it a project page, but now I think it's really a subdirectory called the Truth Social Network within the directory of Get Truth, which is the common directory that is, and we'll talk about Common Directory soon, contained within the Truth Social Network, the wider network for replacing social media, or doing social media without social media, I should say. And, you know, in some senses, ideas are already, have already throughout history been recognized as valuable, and they've kind of been guided into these idea factories or farms. First, we realized that people realized that their ideas were valuable, and then we kind of guided them, once discovering that they realized that their own ideas were valuable, into these idea farms run by these farm owners, or slave owners, right? If you want to be hyperbolic about it. But I think with the Truth Social Network, we are allowing people to take control over their own ideas and, you know, become their own patenters of idea fingerprints, which you can prove if we go into the assumption that people will increasingly start publishing ideas under their own private keys, creating their own idea fingerprints or signatures. People are, in a sense, taking control and credit over their own ideas, which is pretty fucking cool, if you ask me. So, anyway, beautiful day to be working on the most important project that exists in the world. The most powerful project that exists in the world. And what could be more cool than that? Hacking the world and finding its most important project and becoming a part of it and contributing to it and publishing on it is powerful, to say the least. Now, I think we're going to get into the topic of this particular audio development journal, or one of the main topics, is trying to hack ourselves, right? How can we hack this idea of the Truth Social Network? And that's kind of what I've been thinking about, you know, when you hang around a bunch of these hacker cracker types, you know, which naturally happens in this space of Bitcoin and cryptography and the wider, you know, wider space of things. As you start to figure out, well, how can I break things, you start to get into that mindset. So that's kind of what I've been doing recently. So I started thinking about, if I wanted to try and break this thing, how would I do it, right? These tamper-evident records. And when you think it through, you realize that, at least pragmatically, it's kind of silly. But it's good to explore these things, so that's what I'll attempt to do. So, and eventually what you come to when you go through this exercise is you realize that the accounts, opening an account and closing an account, you know, a valid TSN account, is really the brilliance of this whole thing and the glue that holds it all together and sort of prevents this from happening. But so, I was thinking, you know, how could I recreate my own historical record, right? So if I wanted to break this, technically, I could go back 5 years, right? 5 years in time, and just look at all the Bitcoin blocks and Litecoin blocks that have occurred, right? Because they've already occurred, and make a new list of content by signing it from my own key, right? And using blocks from 5 years ago, and I already could find the number of transactions in those blocks, right? Because they've already happened and it's a public record. And what's to stop me from just recreating a record and claiming, you know, recreating it now in the year 2020 and claiming it occurred in the year 2015 because I have all that data, and just creating a bunch of signatures grouped together in blocks and claiming, you know, that they happened through these blocks in 2015 and then linking it to another block and eventually and so on and so forth, creating a record in 2015 and acting like I did it then, but I'm really doing it now. But so, here's where it gets silly, right? First off, just because I can, what is the incentive to do that? Right? There's not much of an incentive to do that. I suppose I could take some things that happened in 2015 and say, you know, look how cool I am. I predicted this would happen, and then just look at something that happened then and sign a signature and saying, look, I was right. So you could create some fake record of accuracy of predictions or something like that, but what's that really worth, right? But there's not much of an incentive to do what I'm talking about, creating this fake record, which was truly made by me, because it has to be used by my private key to make these signatures, but it wasn't produced in current time, or was produced in current time, but it claims to be produced 5 years ago. So there's not much of an incentive to do that, but nonetheless, you could do it. But here's where it gets, here's the brilliance of the existence of accounts on the True Social Network and having valid accounts. By opening up an account, you are establishing the server where you will be publishing these signatures, and you are establishing the time in doing so, and you're establishing, so you, in doing so, you're creating a valid account. So this is the primary glue to creating these tamper-evident historical records. Without that, it all goes to shit. So that's the beautiful thing about it, is I would have needed to create an account in 2015 to do so, right? And that would have needed to be a part of my block, my Genesis block. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the value of the observer, right? When you're publishing content, you're publishing content to an audience of observers who are witnessing your establishing of a valid account and establishing of the time in said account, and throughout the creation of your content within blocks, and also upon establishing or publishing blocks, I should say, you are establishing the time to this audience. So without that, it could all fall apart. But if you are not doing that, you are not following the rules of the True Social Network protocol, you see? And so it arises how brilliant and beautiful and breathtaking the aspect of creating these accounts are. So when you establish an account, you are referring to, I should say, let's not conflate the terminology, you are referring to the server which you will be publishing from in that account in your opening account message, and you are signing it, and you are publishing this TSN reference, which is also in your block, because it wouldn't be a TSN reference if not, which is the subcategory of an account, right? It's a TSN reference published under the directory of accounts. And in doing so, you are establishing to the audience that you will be adding to your historical record from that server. And so it's really beautiful how that works. You see, if you can't grasp that concept that you are opening an account on a specifically designated server, then you can't grasp the glue, and for an audience, for all the audience to see, you can't grasp the glue that holds the true social network together, right? So I really don't see how it could be broken. Assuming you are the only one who owns your private key, right? And you can always close an account and reopen an account from a new block publishing server. Now that brings us to your blockchain, right? Which is tamper evident because your blocks are linked in the subsequent block, creating a blockchain. Your own tamper-evident historical blockchain of history. And that's also published on your block publishing server. Let's solidify that, right? And so, worst case, you could always close that account. You could always open up. You don't need to have only one. You can have various accounts for one TSN address. And if you ever lost control of a certain server, or namely your block publishing server, you could just open up an account on a new block publishing server, right? And then you could denounce the old account, right? And then re-upload your blocks starting from Genesis. So, I don't see how it could be broken. Of course, always invite everyone to try and break it. Now, this is a good segue to get us into something else I've been thinking about in this audio development journal. And that's the concept of mining. So, we've gotten away from that for a bit to iron out the basics of the three aspects of signing and all these core basic things that create the TSN protocol, of which we can then build mining clout and all that on, because all that stuff are going to be certain types of TSN references, which we know pretty clearly what those are now. And so that brings us to mining. I've been thinking a bit more about mining. When you mine someone's block, you are doing it with the hopes of gaining their clout, right? If you've successfully mined it and they've acknowledged it, which I think is going to stay, that they have to acknowledge your signature, right? You've successfully gained their clout, which can be used for their Cloutreon, amongst a bunch of other cool things which we've talked about in prior videos. What was interesting that I kind of was contemplating was, can I just start by mining someone's most recent block? I don't think so. I think one of the rules of mining is going to be sort of like, if you want to become a Bitcoin miner, you have to have a full copy of the you have to have a fully validating node which has every block from the Genesis block until it's synced up to the current blocks that are being published in order to be able to first mine, right? So if I want to mine, if LTC Joe wants to mine my clout, my BTC Joe sweet, sexy clout, he's got to sync up by downloading, but really by mining all of my prior blocks, starting from my Genesis block, right? He's got to start from Genesis block, then go to block two and block three and so on until he's up to date. Now, in Bitcoin, you're just syncing up in order to be eligible to mine the next block. In the Truth Social Network, you want to get your clout out there. And so I think when you're not really just syncing up a node in order to mine the next block, you're mining my entire blockchain. But you have to start from block one, and in order to be up to date to continually be mining as blocks are published. But you have to start from block one to get synced. I think that's going to be one of the rules. Now, the other approach would be you are simply just running all of my blocks as a node would, and you don't get credit for that in order to mine the next block. But I don't think, I think it's better this way because you want to get your clout out. You want to be issuing that clout in order to eventually, for it to become more scarce and scarce, because it will be following an asymptotic distribution of clout. So I think what you could see is people creating TSN addresses, which are strictly mining addresses, which aren't really publishing content. They're just mining people's clout. And in order to do that, they're going to have a full copy. They're going to have to start mining from said person's Genesis block until they're up to date. And then they could be mining as blocks are published from that person. So I don't think we had clarified that aspect. Now, there's a lot of work to be done in clarifying and just figuring out how mining and cloud is going to work, but I wanted to touch on that. Now, lastly, in order to really get things going with fleshing out mining and cloud, I think we have to decide on some parameters for how blocks are published, or when they are published, I should say. It's very ambiguous right now. I had spoken about how there was going to be a block size limit, so you sort of know, well, when a person's block is getting to this size in kilobytes, then you know they're going to, you know, establish the time in it and publish it and link it in their next block, which will make it eligible for mining. But there's other ways it could be done that may in fact be better. So, and again, all that's in blocks are these messages, right? So there's not a lot of data. All these blocks are in kilobytes, you know, pretty much, no matter how long you're going to do them, realistically. So, because it's just text data, even for, obviously, if you make a TSN reference with a video or audio file in the block, you're just getting a hash of that. So it's all just text data, and it's not a lot of storage. So the block size limit isn't really for the purpose of limiting, you know, helping storage costs for people who are mining. It's really more, at least it was envisioned, because you want to get a lot of blocks out in order to distribute your clout fast enough. So maybe we're thinking about it the wrong way. maybe instead of that, it could be sort of a time-based type of thing, right? So maybe your blocks would have, how should I phrase this? Again, concepts are more important than labels at this point. Eventually, you want to have good labels so everyone's clear on what they're talking about, but if you can't figure out the concept first, then it doesn't fucking matter. So the concept is this, regardless of what it would be called. There would be a time, a Bitcoin time-based limit for when you would publish blocks. So let's give a scenario, right? I publish my TSN block at Bitcoin block X, right? So what if there was a limit that said, after 100 blocks from Bitcoin block X, 100 Bitcoin blocks from Bitcoin block X from when I published my TSN block, I cannot add any more content or TSN references without publishing my block, right? So this would achieve the same type of thing. This would force you to be putting out a lot of blocks, right? Because if there's 100 Bitcoin block limit before, or sorry, of which when it's reached, I cannot add any more TSN content to my block, I'm going to be forced to be pumping out TSN blocks at least, you know, like one per day if I'm going to be adding more content, right? And that's good. You want to be publishing a lot of blocks, because if you're not publishing blocks, you're not distributing your clout. So this achieves that in a better way. And, you know, you could only publish so much if you're just realistically making content in that time period. And it doesn't really matter because it's just text information in there. But it will kind of constrain that a bit. But again, that's not the problem. We want to make sure you're getting out blocks. Now, on the other side of things, you may not have any content. Like, say, you publish a block, and then within the next 100 blocks, you happen to not put out a lot of content. Or you put out no content. That's okay, because blocks still have unique hashes. Even if there's no TSN references in them, they're still going to create a unique hash. And, you know, you establish the time, which is kind of like, you know, creates, which changes the hash of it, but it really doesn't matter. But as soon as you put the standard format information, which links to the, which puts your at handle, you know, your point handle and your address, and then links to the previous block, you're creating a new unique hash in that. So even the point is, all that's needed to produce a block is a unique hash to be linked in the next block. So it's okay if you don't have a lot of content. So whatever this is going to be labeled, it's possible this could be a better way than actually having a data block size limit, which was kind of just like, well, we want to get blocks out there, so we'll make this. It wasn't like, well, there's too much data in blocks. So that could be an interesting solution. Anyway, beautiful day. I'm going to go enjoy it. I think that's going to be it for this one. Be back soon. Peace.